While we're here in South Carolina, we're following not only the presidential race, but how politics boils down to very personal and local issues like education. The college students we just spoke to put education front and center, and so are a group of schools who are actually suing the state of South Carolina for more resources. This group of poor and rural schools lie along Interstate 95 in what a documentary called The Corridor of Shame. Dillon School District 2 is part of the Corridor lawsuit, which is now in the appeals process. Dillon is an hour and a half from where we've been reporting this week in Columbia. We went to the district's only junior high school, J.V. Martin, to get an in-depth look at the issues one of these schools is facing. You can't tell by looking at J.V. Martin from the outside that this is a school where students have to wear coats, hats, and gloves in class in the winter. There's no heat or air conditioning. School Secretary Cynthia Thomas thinks the students, including her own daughter, deserve better.
I think it needs a lot of structure and work. I think they put a lot of paint and different things over it to make it look presentable. But when you go to the core of things, you can tell that the foundation of some things are just not stable and it will not last for long.
Cynthia says it's hard to improve the schools when families in the neighborhood are struggling.
This area was so focused on factory work where we had a lot of jobs that are shut down. People can barely find decent jobs that start off with a good pay. My thing is, if somebody make just a basic $8 an hour, that's just $300-something a week, and by the time all the things are taken out, you very have much to live off of. And I think that is a lot of the frustration why people are not motivated, maybe. So I think that's, you know, some of the things that I see as a parent.
Cynthia's daughter, Mykea Murphy, is in eighth grade at the school. She's a lovely young lady with freshly cornrowed hair. She says her favorite type of music is Christian. And although she tries hard not to criticize her school too much, she admits that her friends do complain about the conditions.
Usually they talk about mainly the white building because it's so old, and they crack jokes on it and stuff, and they just say it's so old and we need new buildings. Like, they had to vote not too long ago about if we should get a new school or not, but they didn't really care, and they didn't tell their parents to vote because we're going to be at the high school next year. So, like, even though I'm going to the high school next year, I had to think about my brother, my little brother, and all the other people that I know that's coming to J.B. Martin.
The students and the parents aren't the only ones worried about conditions. J.V. Martin's principal, Amanda Burnett, described one of the classrooms.
It's a raw cement floor, and it used to be a shop. So you can imagine, you kind of get that visual of what a shop or a warehouse type place, the very high ceilings. We have to hold class in there. It's very drafty. The furniture in there is old and it's broken. And it's just not an ideal place for students to learn.
In fact, the main part of J.V. Martin is 111 years old. That means it's nearly 600 students are in the oldest classrooms in South Carolina. But state law, says Principal Burnett, makes it difficult to pursue funding.
Unfortunately, when the South Carolina State Constitution was written, the framers used verbiage that hasn't been very flattering for the educational system. The way the Constitution reads, it says that the state's responsibility is to provide a minimally adequate education. Certainly, we want more than minimally adequate for our students. They deserve better.
For Principal Burnett, better doesn't just mean heated classrooms. It means making sure each student is performing at least at grade level.
We have a student body of about 560 students. About 187 of those students read at least three grade levels below. We have some students who do not recognize all of the letters of their alphabet. And we've been working very hard on literacy since school started in late August. And we've been able to make some resounding gains. We just were looking at some test scores that came in from our winter testing. And some of those students have moved 2 to 3 grade levels in that short length of time. So we're very pleased with that, but we still have a long way to go.
In fact, Burnett was brought in specifically to turn around the school after it scored below the standards of the federal No Child Left Behind laws for several years in a row. Ray Rogers has served as the Dillon 2 District Superintendent for 17 years.
In this school that you're sitting in today here at J.V. Martin is 88% free and reduced lunch. That and anything that shows poverty is, by the federal levels, over 40%. We have some schools that are 99%. So just those figures itself, it just jumps out at you. So the kids come to the table, they come to school, and the school has got to be pretty much everything for as far as their education is concerned.
Principal Burnett says she doesn't get a lot of help from parents.
Parents in this area in the past have not valued education like we would like for them to. Many of them are not high school graduates. About 60% of the people in Dillon County are not high school graduates. Certainly, we want to encourage them to be involved with the school and to make educational decisions that best benefit their students. These parents went to school in this building, too. This building has stood here since 1896. Unfortunately, this community has accepted that that's what education looks like.
It's fallen largely on the district to fight to improve the schools. In 1993, Dillon II joined a coalition of school districts which filed a lawsuit against the state. The suit claimed that the conditions of their buildings were below state minimums. An initial ruling acknowledged that conditions were bad, but they still met minimum standards. Now the case is under appeal at South Carolina's Supreme Court, and Ray Rogers is still up for a fight.
You know, I didn't ask to be at the forefront. I guess it just kind of fell naturally because, you know, I had a decision to make. Do I just stay under the radar, back up, say nothing, protect myself, protect the district, let somebody else do it, or do you tell what you really feel in your heart? You know, I'm at the point in my career that I could go home tomorrow if needed be. But if it helps the kids across the state and across the nation, then somebody needs to say when there's inadequacies, something's wrong. And what better position to say is a superintendent of one of the districts that are saying, this is a fact, come see.
The race to the White House has helped elevate the corridor of shame to the national spotlight. Several presidential candidates have visited the region. In fact, as we left Dillon last evening, Senator Obama was on his way in for a rally at the high school. Local residents aren't waiting for the candidates or the state to take action. In 2010, a new middle school is scheduled to open after this economically stretched town voted to raise the sales tax to build their school. Ray Rogers sees it as a step in the right direction.
They know that I'm fighting for their kids. And, you know, when you're fighting for kids, it doesn't matter what color you are. It's what's in your heart that matters. People want, doesn't matter whether you're poor, rich, or whatever, you want the best for your kids. Sometimes you don't have the means to get the best. But they stepped up to the plate, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, everybody in this county knew that it was past time to do something, and they showed it when they went out to vote.
The big question in South Carolina right now is, how will the local vote influence national leadership, and who will make a difference for the students in South Carolina and throughout the nation whose schools are failing them? We should note we put out calls to the state attorney general's office to get the state's view of the ongoing lawsuit. They did not offer us a guest or a statement.